time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, guys, to you, those of you out there who are panicking a little bit, wondering if we're going to have a show today. We're dealing with some technical difficulties. We got those technical difficulties out, so we're popping up live and in color here a couple minutes late. Thank you for joining us. Got plenty of room for you to jump in here in the queue with us if you want to. Crazy stuff going on. And I think I got a show worth hanging around. Hang in there with us, if you will. January 7th, 2020. I can't even get my mouth to say 2020. It just doesn't seem to want to do that. We're already 7 days into it, a week into the new year. A lot of stuff to get done. Hey, listen, before we get going, I got several things I got to throw on the table here real quickly before we dive into it. And plus, that'll give some people a chance to get in here who maybe couldn't figure out why we weren't up and running here on time. But we're up and running now. Again, folks, if you ever get to the point where you can't find us, always go to CoachDaveLive.com. Jared got way ahead of the game about a year ago, maybe even more than that, and he began to build our own platform. In other words, everything we do here at Coach Dave Live, we own it. See, when you put it on YouTube, you don't own it. YouTube can shut it down anytime they want to shut it down. I assume Facebook is the same way, although I don't really know how that works. But every time we make a video like this, this is archived on our own hard drive, equipment, whatever it is. We own this. This thing is always on our platform. So if you ever out there and you say, well, Coach, I like listening to on Facebook, or I watch it on Periscope, or I listen to you on YouTube, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to change your habits and start, or at least in your mind, know that I can go to CoachDaveLive.com. So if you're out there and you're all nervous because you can't find me on YouTube, it's not coming up, folks, relax. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. It's always there, okay? It's always there. We don't know what's going on with Facebook, and we don't know what's going on with all those platforms, with all the censoring that's going on, and we just don't know. So we are here. We're here, all right? Now, I want to throw out at you a couple things. Alan Hoyle, this is not for everybody. We're going to go down and stand with Alan Hoyle the 14th and 15th, which is next coming up this weekend. If you're in the Central Ohio area and you want to go down, get a hold of Mike Blake. You can send an email to me and I'll get it to Mike Blake. We're trying to organize a group to go down there and stay with Alan. We have a place to stay, bring a sleeping bag and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a real quick down on the 14th, probably back on the 15th. So if you have to miss work, it'll only be one day. We'll have you back in time. So if you're interested in going down and standing with Alan Hoyle, we're going to do that on the 14th and 15th. That's next week already. Is that right? Is that a week from today? Jeez. Yeah, a week from today already. And then, of course, we're heading down to Richmond, Virginia, and that thing is really, really getting some legs of its own as far as, the guns and the Second Amendment and what it's about the overreach of government, the overreach of government. At what point do we stand up and shake off those chains and say, no, you're not. Listen, you ain't going to do that, dude. And don't ever forget that the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Bill of Rights is a bill of restrictions. It's restrictions on the government. Government does not give us our right to possess guns. So government doesn't have the right to take away our right to possess guns, folks. This is critical. And see, as I said to somebody the other day, we live in a crazy world because they find abortion in the Constitution. Abortion's in there somewhere, although, of course, it's not in there. But guns are specifically in there. Weapons, the right to keep and bear arms are specifically listed in the Second Amendment. And yet, government is granting abortion rights, which don't appear, and taking away gun rights, which do appear, right? Crazy. So at some point, we're going to have to fight, even though we don't want to, because we're going to reach the point where we're not going to be strong enough to fight. If we allow them to begin taking weapons, boys, it's too late to fight. So that's why this trip down to Richmond is so important. And anybody wants to go, let us know. We got guys that are working to try to get things organized. But I'll just be honest with you. I think this thing's going to be huge. I don't know. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I don't know.
Hey, Coach.
Particularly a volatile situation for sure. Yeah, Gary.
You know, the pastors and the bikers need to work together.
Well, that's what we always try to do, isn't it, Benny? Doesn't always work out that well, but we have to try to work together. And as I said yesterday, I joined this local group. I don't even have it in front of me. What do they call? Oh, Lord. I'm not going to go digging through it. We just got to get organized. We've got to work together. That's really one of the things I want to talk about here when we get rolling. Let me announce right now, before I forget this, we're really getting ready. I'm a little bit behind the eight ball. Excuse me. We are doing an Occupy 2020 event in Canton, Ohio. I think it's May 3rd and 4th. Is that right, Jared? Can you pull that thing up there? And folks, listen, first of all, you want to come to these events because you get to meet other like-minded people. That's the number one reason that I put on the events. In fact, we thought about this year, whether or not we would even, whether I was going to do it. It takes a lot of finance to make it happen, yada, yada, yada. And I said, no, this is a time when we have to continue to do it. So Occupy 2020, Dr. Michael Lake, Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Mike Spaulding, I knew I was going to forget him. Bill Federer is coming back again. Usama Dakdak, going to talk about Islam. Working on Doug Hagman. We still have some others. This is going to be – we're having fewer speakers so they can speak more. Does that make sense? We have L.A. a couple slots and Dizdar a couple slots, and we're going to give Dr. Lake a couple slots and Bill Federer a couple. So the – we get a broader view of what's going on. Because the truth is, we can come in and have a smorgasbord, but we really sometimes leave without a whole lot of direction. So we're not going to try to do that this time. And we're continuing to build the people that are coming. Jared, did you pull that? Do we even have – see, Gary and those guys behind the scenes are doing great work at trying to get me up to date on this kind of thing. And we're having a banner made and all that kind of stuff. Now, here's something that's unique. We're going to start rolling out our $10 video platform. We talked about the different levels of $10 and $20. We're going to ask everybody who can to subscribe to Coach Dave Life for just $10 a month. $10 a month. That's what we're going to try to do, just to help have a solid, continuous revenue stream coming in. And if you do that, then your registration for the event is only $59. It's going to be $79 to register, but it's only $59 if you become part of the Coach Dave Live team members for $10 a month. So we're still working on that. But I want you guys to make sure that you get that on your calendars, that we're going to be doing it in Canton, Ohio again on May 3, 4, and 5. April 3, 4, and 5. April 3, 4, and 5. Come and join us, man. So that registration is open now. You can get in there, and we'll be giving you more and more information about that. Our schedule's up. A lot of great stuff on our schedule. Yada 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 yada. Okay, so good. I think I did my duty there. Before I dive in here, I've got some great stuff I want to talk about today. I want to open up the queue here, man. Anybody have anything particularly on their heart slow down, Coach. I was thinking my wife. I love my wife so much. She's always encouraging me. And she just said the other day, man, look at all the shows that have spun off of your show. Now, they're not spinning off of my show. All right? All right? I'm not pumping up my ego. But there are more and more good stuff out there, man, that are directly related to the fact that we have been successful at making this platform grow. Mike Spaulding has a great show on Monday night. Dr. Robert Klaus has started a show now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Isn't that what it is, Robert? Tuesdays and Thursdays. Go ahead, Robert. Are you there?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Tuesdays and Thursdays. Listen, yeah. Folks, I'm not going to open the platform up to everybody because we'll never get through this. Mike Heath has a great show every morning. Dr. Mike Spaulding, I said on Monday nights, David Heavener has his show going on right now. Oh, here I go. I'm going to start forgetting people. JR has, of course, he has his radio show that he does on Saturday mornings. Robert Klaus, they said, pardon me? Rob Pugh started the show. And so there are a lot of, I'm sorry, who have I forgotten? I knew I should have written them down.
You haven't forgotten anyone, because we all got shows, brother.
You get what I'm saying. And it's all part of this informational age that we're in, folks, and our desire and our need to fight back and push back and try to get – we all of us, you, all of you, have an area of influence. All of you do, whether it's on a show, whether it's whatever. And now more than ever, we need more and more voices, more and more voices that people will stand up and speak up to influence those people who are around you. That's all we have to do, man, for sure. So just stay close to the fire here. A lot of great things going on. Okay, nobody else anything? Because I'm going to hit something here real quick. Doors open. Walk on in here real quick. Okay, doesn't matter. Here we go. Here's one.
Go ahead. I'm here. Anyway, we have been listening. I got some other people that's been listening in too.
Good.
You know, like when I'm sitting here talking to you, they're in the background listening to me. You know, listening to it while I'm listening to it.
Sure, I got you.
All right, now they're saying they're really ticked off at our government and they're ready to fight at this point.
We got
to
get on.
So I tell them to come to Richmond, right?
Yeah, that's right. But see, we got to get organized. We just can't say, I want to fight.
Exactly. Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. So I want to lay something out here with you today that's important for us to understand. The scriptures tell us this. Can two walk together unless they agree? Can two walk together unless they agree? I was thinking about Michelle and I. She had she's substitute teaching this morning. So I had to say a few things to her before. I knew when I came down to do the show, when I came back up, she was going to be gone. So it ended up in she said something, I said something. She said something else. I said something else. And it wasn't pleasant. You know, y'all been married. You know what I'm talking about, right? Leaving it at the last moment. And that's never a good thing to do. But there's great unity in our house. And we love each other. And we're together. Yeah, we peck at each other a little bit. But the scripture says, can two walk together lest they agree? Can two walk together lest they agree? And I think one of the things that has really, really hindered us, and we don't have a great grasp on, I want to try to open your eyes up to it, is Christians in particular. Christians. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Okay. I'm talking to you. We have to answer this question. Is there only one God or not? Whoops. An all-powerful God. The eternal God. Is there only one God or is there not? Because the battle that we are fighting is we are in a society and in a culture that somewhere along the way, I don't know how it happened to us, here in America, we began to serve many gods. Ultimately, this battle that we are fighting right now in America, listen now, I'm telling you, is over who will be God. Who will be God? Or better yet, who is God? Who is the one true God? And is there a one true God? And we know that the Ten Commandments tell us, the Lord said, I am God. Jared, go there, Exodus 12. Is that where it is, Exodus 12? Ten Commandments? Exodus 12? Or is it 20? Bear with me. Bear with me as Jared digs this thing out for us. It's 12:20.
Hey, Coach, can you look that up, Coach? Can I say that power begets responsibility? People want this power, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with it.
What power are you talking about, Vinny?
Any power. Any power.
Okay, here it is. Exodus 20, I'm sorry, I had it backwards. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now notice two things. Number one, God is capitalized in verse 1. It's capitalized in verse 2, but it's not capitalized in verse 3. Are you seeing me? So we understand this. There are other gods. And what does he say? I shall have no other gods before me. He didn't say that there aren't any other gods. In fact, he said there are other gods, but I'm the one. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now, do Christians really believe, do we really and truly today, Randy and Joseph and Joe, Double Joseph and Kevin and Larry and Craig and Dustin, George, do we really believe, I'm talking about we Christians, do we really believe that there is only one God? And if we believe that there is only one God, then why are Christians promoting the idea of tolerance for other gods? Can somebody explain that to me right now? Number two questions I just asked. Number one, is there only one God? Do we really, really, really believe that? And if we really, really, really believe that, then why are we tolerating the co-partnership with other gods when we know that the scripture already tells us that a Muslim and a Christian cannot walk together? Why? Because they do not agree. Hang on, I'm going someplace else. I'm going to go where no man dares to go. We better ask ourselves this. Do the Jews and the Christians serve the same God? Is Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords or not? And if Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you don't acknowledge and worship Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, do we serve the same gods? Because see what they're telling us, right? They're telling us, well, Muslims, they serve the same God, and Jews, they serve the same God. And yeah, you Christians over there, you serve the same God, except of those three, we're the only ones who carry the name of Jesus. Is Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords, or not, Christian world? I'm going to shut up a minute and hear what you have to say.
You know, they have a veil over their eyes, Coach. They can't see Jesus.
I'm asking a question, Craig.
Yeah.
I'm asking a question. Do we believe he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords or not? And if he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, does he demand that we tolerate other religions? That's the debate. Folks, the battle we're having in America, the battle we're having all across is who's king? Who's King of Kings? That's the battle.
Jesus.
Is it the individual and your right to choose? Is it whatever God you make up in your own mind? Who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? From a Christian perspective, I don't care what Ricky Survey says, I don't care about it. Who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And Christians would say, Jesus is the only way. And yet, we tolerate all other gods. Come on in.
Unless you recognize Jesus as Lord, and unless you recognize that, you're not a Christian. So Christians do understand there's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, as to the toleration, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You don't set anything higher than him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's toleration has turned in to equal equal. The equal does not enter the Christian's equation.
If
the Christian lets equal enter the equation, then you have rejected Jesus as the Lord.
So who's the one? Let me ask you something, folks. Who are the ones that are responsible for taking Jesus off of his throne? If we have been taught and we believe that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him, how did another God get co-equal status with us here in America? Somebody explain it. I'm all ears today.
Jesus said, with your words you serve me, but with your hearts are far from me. What he said, Coach, and that's what we have. We have people that think they're serving Jesus, the God, but in their heart, they're serving little g gods. They don't know the difference.
They don't know, right? Randy, can Judaism and Islam coexist, Randy?
No.
Larry, can Judaism and Islam coexist?
Negative. They sure can't.
They cannot. Why? Because the scripture tells us that can two walk together lest they agree. Folks, can I ask you something? I'm just thinking out loud here today. Why do Christians, real Christians, validate either one of those faiths? I'm going to wait for somebody to explain that to me. If we believe he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he'll have no other gods before him, we believe in the triune God of Jehovah, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit. If we believe in that, stop a minute. Somebody asked me the other day, I'm going to give you this illustration, trying to explain three gods in one. How can you explain that? And I said, it's very, very simple. Water. Water is all you need to know. Water is a liquid. When you freeze it, it becomes a solid. And when you heat it up, it evaporates into a gas. All of them oxygen. All of them O2, right? So the idea that we don't understand three in one Trinity, it's all around us. What do you mean we don't understand that? Certainly we do, right? So it changes form or application, but it's not any less CO2. It's not any less water, right? So, it all comes back again because there could be, do you know, folks, do you know right now that there are countries in the world where Christianity is illegal? You will die.
Hey, Coach.
If you are a Christian. You'll die. They'll kill you for being a Christian. Why? I'm asking the question. Why are we as Christians so tolerant of those who, if they had the chance, would kill us? Yeah, Mark, go ahead.
Energy. Water is like Christianity. You add energy to it, it expands.
Changes
whether
form.
Whether you freeze it and add energy or whether you heat it and add energy, it expands. Yes, it changes form and it's all three in one as well, but it also expands. Just like if we invest in others, we're expanding Jesus.
So, Mark, I get it, but changes form. I can walk out of my house on a humid July afternoon here in Ohio, and I can feel the water. I can feel it. I mean, it's not actually water, but just like I can feel the Holy Spirit, I can feel the moisture in the air. Go ahead, Gary.
The reason why it's tolerated is because Christians have become ashamed of the gospel.
I think, Gary, I think that's part of it, but I think we are miseducated. Hey, Jared, pull up, where is it? Where am I looking? I'm sorry, man. Religions of the World. Jared, pull that up for us. See, no other religion that I know of claims to be able to be in you. Holy Spirit in you. Christ in us. The hope of glory, right? Christ in us. How can Christ be in us? How can he be in us? I'm going to ask you again. How can Christ be in us? Why, he is a spirit. Is Muhammad a spirit? Okay, scroll down here a second. Somebody tried to come in. Was that you, Raj? It was somebody. I don't know if it was
Raj. Coach, this is... You're hitting on something right here that separates it all. This is right. Good. This is good. Keep going.
Oh, thanks, Randy. The world's 20th largest religions and their numbers of believers are. Now, hang on, folks. Listen. Sitting at number one is Christianity, 2.1 billion Christians. 2.1 billion. I thought the number would be higher. Now, do those 2.1 billion Christians Do they believe Jesus is the only way? Or do they believe that it's just a way they've chosen? That for them, it's a way. The average Christian I'm talking about now. That for them, as Oprah would say, there's many paths to God. So is Islam one of the paths? How about this? Non-religious, secular, agnostic, and 1.1 billion people. There's almost as many non-religious, secular agnostics as there are Muslims. Hinduism is 900 million. Chinese traditional religions, 394 million. Buddhism, 376. It's all right in front of you. I'm not going to have to go down. Sikhism, 23 million. Judaism, where's Judaism? Where is that? Huh? Why, there it is. 12. 4 million. What? 4 million Jews? 1.3 billion Muslims? What? Here, I'm going to ask it.
14, Coach.
14, thank you. 14. 14. I'm going to ask a question. Do Jews and Christians serve the same God? I'm going to wait for the response. Because before you respond, if we serve the same gods, why wouldn't we be classified together on that chart we just looked at? No. Why is there 2.1 billion Christians and 14 million Jews? If we serve the same God, why aren't we? Somebody help me. Somebody help me here.
We are the ones who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews did not. That's why they're separated.
No, we don't worship the same God.
So do we worship the same God then, Joe? That's what I'm asking.
They're separate.
I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm asking.
They're on a separate list because they have a different God. Their God is the Father part only. And the Father part only is not the whole thing.
Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Joseph, if I understand it right, the Jews worship the Father. They worship the Godhead.
True.
Then why aren't we the same?
Don't think that Jesus was the one sent. He's not the Messiah. Because they're expecting some big show.
They may worship the Father, but they cannot get to the Father because they rejected the Father's path to get to it.
See, this is touchy. Is anybody feeling uncomfortable out there? Is anybody feeling uncomfortable? Because as we look at the religions of the world, Judaism is its own religion. Okay, Jared. I got it, Jared.
Coach, there is no fellowship with any of those below Christianity that don't agree that Jesus is in me, Christ, the Holy Spirit's in me. There is no fellowship with none of that.
None of them.
There's a line. There should be a line right under number one right there.
Now, let me stop a second because I'm going to ask you. I'm talking about our root beliefs, okay? Please. Erase theology out of your brain. Please, just stop it a second. Of that list that we see before us right now, according to Christian teachings, if you are a Christian and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, does that include anybody under number one? Does anybody under number one on that 20 largest religions list, does anybody underneath that get to the Father?
Absolutely not.
Not unless Jesus is a liar.
Bingo.
Not because Jesus said, well, I hate to keep saying it. I am the way. I am the truth. You guys all know that verse. You all know that verse. So ultimately, I know it's making some of you uncomfortable.
Coach, there's only two covenants. And then Jesus said, I am the new covenant. If you can't get that, you cannot have a covenant with God, period, with the Father, period. There's no other covenants outside of Christ that's real, that are recognized by him.
So Randy, the real thing that we see going on in the United States, around the world, whether we want to admit it or not, my friends, the real issue is it's a spiritual war. It's all a religious war. Everything that we see going on around us is a religious war. Meaning what? Jared, pull up Webster's religion. Pull up religion. Where is it? Yeah, freedom of religion. Webster's dictionary. Religion. Religion. Because we're looking at the 20 great religions I'm not trying to make anybody nervous. I'm not trying to poke anybody in the eye. I'm just thinking out loud again here, right? Hey, Randy? No, not Randy. Let's go. Hey, Kevin Van's story. Does an unsaved Zoroastrian make it to heaven? Jared, I'm all over the place. Can you pull that list back up?
No, sir, he does not.
He does not? An unsaved Zoroastrian does not go to heaven. Okay, does that make anybody nervous for me to say that? Not going to make it? Does an unsaved Juche, I don't even know what it is, number 10. Does an unsaved Juche, no matter how sincere his beliefs are, does an unsaved Juche make it to heaven? Does an unsaved, even though they're fourth on the list, does an unsaved Hindu make it to heaven? How about an unsaved number 3, non-religious, secular, agnostic, do they make it to heaven? What about a Muslim? They're number 2 on the list. Do they make it to heaven by denying Jesus as Lord? What about number 12? Do they make it to heaven by denying Jesus Christ as Lord? Why not? So, Jared, do you have Webster up there for me? Making some of you nervous. Look, I am not taking a position. I'm asking the question. Yeah.
Coach.
Yeah.
You didn't ask about Christianity.
What do you mean, Joe?
Are they going to heaven?
That's a great question. How do you go to heaven, right? How do you go to heaven? Do you go to heaven merely by being baptized as a little baby? Do you go to heaven just by going to church? See, Joe, because here's the truth, folks. Stay with me now. If a guy like me and a guy like, I'll pick anybody in the Glen, I'm picking people in the queue, George, Joe, if I picked any, and we rose up and said, listen, we are going to go back to our founding and we're going to make America only a Christian nation again. What would they call us? What would they say about us? They would say that we are radicals and we've gone off the deep end and we're intolerant and we're diverse. The truth of it is that there are those who are within the church who aren't Christians either, which is the point Joe's making, I think. Is that the point you're making, Joe? Because Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Right? With me? So it seemed to me that somewhere along the line, those of us who were really, really Christians should have risen up 50, 60, 70, 100 years ago and said, no, no, stop that stuff. Stop that stuff. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. So religion, as defined by our buddy Webster, says religion is the most comprehensive sense, includes a belief in the being and perfections of God. In the revelation of his will to man, and man's obligation to obey his commands, and in the state of reward and punishment, and in a man's accountableness to God, and also true godliness and piety of life with the practice of all moral duties. It therefore comprehends theology as a system of doctrines or principles, as well as practical piety for the practice of moral duties without a belief in a divine lawgiver, without reference to his will or commands is not religion. That was a mouthful there. Listen, here's what it is. Simple. Religion is the duties and practices that you believe you owe to God. Every religion has a different set of practices. Number two says, as a distinct from theology, is godliness or real piety in practice consisting in the performance of all known duties to God. That is religion, folks. The performance of all known duties to God. Now, you get to decide when you pick your religion what those duties are to your fellow man. That's it, right? So the problem that we have in America today is those who founded this nation became tolerant, accepted diversity. Lord, help me here. Help me explain this. First Amendment to the Constitution says, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Now, what is a religion? Well, religion is the duties and responsibilities that one owes to God. What was religion?
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
Yeah, that amendment states there is to be no establishment of an official church.
And that's right, Gary. Because why? The 13 original, I've said this before, the 13 original colonies were set up by denominations. Google it. Maybe I'll get Bill Federer to talk about that when he comes, right? Anybody out there know what religion was there in Pennsylvania? Anybody know?
Puritan, Quaker.
Quakers. What were they in Boston, in Massachusetts? Church of England, right? Maryland came Catholic, right? New Jersey was, and New York, what was New York? Dutch. Wasn't it? See, so when they said there was a separation between the church and the state, it's because the states were already set up according to denominations. However, all of them Christian. All of them Christian, see. So here's the problem we're running into, what Larry is fighting so hard against. Sharia law is incompatible with Christianity. And if you think, or you don't think, that at some point the Muslims are going to demand the right to practice Sharia law where they live in their communities, under the guise of freedom of religion, if you don't understand that that's what's coming, then you don't get the big picture of it. See? And what do Christians say? Christians say, okay, well, we believe in freedom of religion. So you can come here and you can be a Muslim. But listen, you're not going to take unchristian rules and laws and do those in this nation. You're not going to be able to come to this Christian nation, be a Muslim, and do genital mutilation to your daughters. We're not going to let that happen. That may be your religious belief, but that don't fly here. You understand, folks? You understand? So it's freedom to practice their belief as they see it, as long as it doesn't violate what? The laws of nature and of nature's God. This is so simple, see? And they've taken the idea of the separation between the church and the state, and they've made it separation of morality and the people. Choose whatever you want to choose. And can I tell you that sitting at the top of the heap are Christians? The Christians have so watered down the gospel that we don't think there's any difference between a Zoroastrian and, oh, well, their opinions are just as good as everybody else. And Hindu, oh, yeah, well, let's bring Hindu practices in. Are you with me, folks? So the battle that we see going on all across America is the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. What? Yes, God, Jesus Christ as King of Kings, and all of these other gods fighting for preeminence, or at least co-king status. And our Father said to us, he'll have no other gods before us, before him. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we open it up and everybody gets co-equals.
Hey, Coach, if I accept these other religions, I ain't got to push back on them. I don't have to do anything for Jesus. All I got to do is tolerate them. That's all I got to do is just let them be. Why is that so wrong, Coach?
Well,
just let them be.
Yeah, but see, what is it? Somebody else help here. What's going on?
Why is it so wrong? Because we are commissioned to spread the gospel.
That's right. That's right.
Not tolerate other religions.
Hey, Joe, not only that, it says, go ye into all the world.
That's right.
Matthew 28.
Yeah, Joe, one of the big problems.
Blessed is he that does not stand in the counsel of the wicked.
The big problem in our society is that there are so many factions of, quote, Christianity, and there are so many different, I mean totally different concepts of what constitutes the gospel. Yeah, I agree. You know, we're to spread the gospel, which the way I read it is includes making disciples. If you don't do the making disciples part, you hadn't fulfilled spreading the gospel. But there are so many different versions of the gospel, and that's where divisions within Christianity is killing us, is literally killing our nation. And Jesus, you know, he said, that word where he says, many came to me and said, Lord, Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your name. That word many there means a supermajority of a group. So the supermajority of the group of people that claim to live their lives for Jesus and do their ministries for him, what's Jesus going to tell them? You go to Matthew chapter 7, verses like 19 through 24. Read it for yourself. I'm not going to say it again. I'm tired of saying it.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? 20. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You go teach them. What does that mean? You establish that way of life. You teach your children. You teach everybody associated with it. These are the rules. These are what Christians believe. And this is what we do. Go and teach all nations. When you do that, I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. And what have we done? We said, well, these rules apply to Christianity, but they don't apply to Israel or to Islam. They don't apply to Judaism. They don't apply to Zoroastrianism. So therefore, government, get away all rules, government, and then we won't have any rules, and everybody can do what's right in their own eyes. See, the battle in we are fighting is a religious battle, my friends. It's a battle over who will be king. Better yet, who is king?
Coach.
Who is king? Now, hang on. Just a second, Randy. Just a second. Folks, listen. Understand this. There's a difference between a salvation issue and a culture issue. We know this, as Joseph just said, that not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is a Christian. It's very clear. Not those 2.1 billion people who say they are Christians, they're not all Christians. They're not all Christians, okay? But they have chosen to follow a Christian world view. When you ask them, how do you identify your belief system? They say Christian. Are they saved? Probably not, but they've adopted the Christian worldview, which is what? Love your neighbor, don't lie, don't steal. Oh, they've adopted the cultural worldview. The cultural worldview is not the same as salvation. And the job of the American government at the beginning was what? To establish a Christian culture. Were every one of the pilgrims Christians? Were every one of the colonists, were they Christians? I don't know, but we do know this. Culturally, they accepted that belief system. You don't have to be a Christian to not murder. You don't have to be a Christian to believe lying is wrong. You don't have to be a Christian to believe stealing is wrong. But those are the rules by which we are all going to live. Unless you want to be a Muslim and bring Sharia law in and say, listen, ignore those rules. We're going to marry as many women as I want to, as young as we want to, and do to their little bodies whatever we want to. And at some point, the American government should stand up and say, no, you're not. Why? Because here are the values by which we live. That's what multiculturalism has done to us. Okay, Randy, come on in.
Coach, that's 100% correct. I agree with you. But it comes down to this, coaches. How do you interpret their verse 19 and 20? How do you interpret it, Christians? If their context of this means to get people saved and just go to heaven, they've missed it. Because, and he's telling them to teach them. Why? So they can live it, so they can practice it, so they can establish God's kingdom.
But Randy,
that's the whole purpose. It's not about just going to heaven, is it?
No. So, see, it's about, again, folks, it's about this idea that all gods are equal. Folks, that isn't true, and it's not true in America. It was never true in America. It said in America, you can come here and you can live as an atheist. You're allowed to live here as an atheist, but you're not going to lie, you're not going to steal, you're not going to commit adultery. Those are going to be our rules, and you're not going to break them no matter what your religion is. You can't break these rules. That's why you
say. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
God, all gods are equal. All right, now check this out. If you know anything about gods, little G ones, big G ones, they're jealous, they're A-type, they're powerful, they're competitive. I want to see someone say to Zeus that he's more powerful than one of the other little G gods. They're going to fight. The gods are always fighting, you know, at least in fiction. But is it fiction? Is it fiction? When the archangel came and fought, was that fiction? You know?
He did, didn't he?
It's hard to say that all gods are equal because they are not going to stand for it, so why should we?
Amen. Amen. Good, Rob.
Well, Coach, you know, Rick Warren started this mess with that Chrislam, and he was a poster child of the evangelical movement with his 40-day purpose and all this kind of stuff. And because the church is brain dead when it comes to scripture, everybody fell for it. And now he's promoting Chrislam, which says, you know, Muslim God, Christian God's all the same.
Okay, I got something. Are you sitting down, Robert?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down? Can I give you guys another meaningless word? Oh, Lord, do I have to do it? Listen, if that Ricky can stand in front of those actors and say what he said the other night, I can say this. I'm going to say it. Do I have to say it, Lord? Yeah, I'm going to say it. All right, here you go. Hey, friends, there is no such thing as Judeo-Christian. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. It's Christian. It's not Judeo-Christian. Jesus came. When Jesus came, he said it is finished. He started it over. He took the Old Testament. He made it alive and living inside of us. This idea of Judeo, folks, the people in Israel do not follow Christian principles. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Robert, am I wrong? Somebody help me.
You're right. The Messianic movement, which is Christians, Jews who are now converted to Christians, they're being persecuted over there in Israel. The true Christians are, who are Jews, but they're Christians, born again. They're being persecuted.
So why do we use the term Judeo-Christian? By the way, why don't we say Muslim Christian, Muhammad Christian? Because some of our beliefs come from Muhammad, they tell us, right? Muhammad, some of it comes right out of the Old Testament. Muhammad, he's just another version of yes or no. I'm not a theologian, Robert. Help me out here. Help me out.
The Judeo-Christian term is a, for lack of a better way to do this, Jesus came from Judeo. Okay? It's a system of honor to the Jews. Okay? Because that's where Jesus came from.
That's, I understand
why we use that term.
I understand. But I don't think we need to. I think our values are Christian. I think our values are Christian.
Correct.
A Christian. Yes.
Put up 2 Corinthians 6:14-16. This will clarify this really, really well, I think. 2 Corinthians 6:14-16. Read that, Coach. This separates it. There is no fellowship. It's separate. You're right. Judeo and Christian. It is not together at all.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hey, Robert. Unbelievers in what? Unbelievers in who?
Well, you're either for Jesus or against him. You either believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you're an unbeliever in him, which puts you in the category.
Wait a minute. This is critical, folks. If I'm a believer in Jehovah, but not a believer in Yeshua, am I a believer?
No.
Boy, this is getting to it, man. Pick up your toes. This is getting to it. This is getting to it. Be not unequally yoked together with those who do not believe in Jesus. Would that be a fair thing to say? Robert, you're the theologian. Would that be a fair thing to say? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unbelievers in what? Unbelievers in snow? Unbelievers in rain? Unbelievers in mud? Unbelievers in what? Be not unequally yoked together with those who don't believe in Jesus. Would anybody disagree with that? For what has fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness? And what communion hath light and dark? So in other words, Jesus is light. Anything that's not Jesus is dark. And what concord hath Christ with the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And if he's not walking in you, is he your God? That's the question I'm asking this morning. They're making a lot of people nervous.
Dave?
Yeah.
Are you foundationally moving towards the concept that we should not befriend Israel and the Jews?
No.
Because, see, I often say Islam is an enemy of the cross. Well, Judaism is an enemy of the cross.
It is.
Because they do not believe or follow Christ.
Yes.
I think the alliance that we see in our society today with Israel is more of a political, more of a survival type alliance to many. Yep. Now, to some, there is a biblical alliance, which I think has a certain amount of falsehoods in it. But I think that the ties to Judaism and Israel and all things today for America, the much larger percentage, I believe, is going towards it's a strategic place that we need a friend.
Well, that's right. I agree with that, Roger. That's what I'm saying, the difference between salvation and religion. They're not the same. They're not the same, right? Hey, folks, an unsaved Jew is not going to heaven. Sorry, they're not going to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. That's it. Robert, January 7th. I want to get it in here. Hope y'all aren't too mad at me here today.
Okay.
I don't really care if y'all are.
Okay, this is a little bit about prayer, but it's also about tribulation. Tribulation will bring triumph. I'll first read the quote. Prayer is our most powerful weapon. Prayer invites God to work things out instead of us relying on our strength just to make it through.
Amen.
So here it is, January 7th. Tribulation brings triumph. Says, the Son of God learned obedience from the things he suffered. Likewise, O son and daughter of the Lord, you can consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. For through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, we don't hear this today about being ready to suffer. It's all pastoral pastries, prosperity gospel, easy believism. For through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. That's an interesting verse there. If we suffer with him. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Weeping may last through the night, but the sun has set. But a shout of joy comes in the morning when the sun and morning star rises. If your tribulation season of life has you hitting the wall, your deliverer is right around the corner, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. Psalm 18.
Amen.
The darkness does not comprehend the light. The carnal does not like the holy. The cold and lukewarm are uncomfortable with the hot. The religious are opposed to the spiritual. Sinners are hostile to saints. No wonder the followers of Jesus are few and their battles are many. But the one who endures tribulation will enjoy triumph. Sort of like what you said, Coach, we cannot fellowship with unbelievers, with darkness. You know, you're either for Jesus or against.
Now, fellowship, that doesn't mean that you can't be nice to people and go to a party where they are. It's talk about an intimate worship of the Lord together. So somebody said, or some, I'm asking myself, people said, Coach, what is this all about? Well, I'm bringing you back to where I started. Is Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords or not? Or not? Is he or is he not? And if we as Christians in this culture and in this society 150 years ago had held the hard line on Christianity as the cultural foundation of our nation, we wouldn't be in this mess. But as soon as we began to put other religions on the same level as Christianity, we were off our firm foundation. And the freedom of religion in America, Kemp said, you can come here and practice and believe whatever you want, but you can't marry a man, you can't abort your babies, you can't divorce. All those rules, those Christian rules that were in place, if we had held the line on those Christian rules that were in place, instead of flopping all over ourselves to appear loving and tolerant, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. And at the very base of it comes back to this. We don't believe Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we did, we would not tolerate him.
Dave, 100 years ago, you would not have a Rick Warren and a rabbi and whatever the Islam guys are called on the same in the same stage.
That's
discussing
right.
Anything.
That's right.
It would not have happened.
Roger goes back to 1947. Christianity was the law of the land. There was no reason to get together and rub arms with Muslims. Why would we do that? It was unthought of.
Zionism merged it, Coach. Zionism merged it back, and we have the compromise situation which we have now because of Zionism, Coach.
Our roots are from Judaism. Our religion is Christianity. They are not the same. God bless you. See you tomorrow.